collaborative.
Experimentation.
The next idea.
We need a participation revolution, and we need it fast.
President Obama, of course, delivered his State of the Union speech Tuesday night, as did Governor Snyder. It was a political double feature. But if TV ratings of past speeches are any indication, chances are there were fewer viewers of these speeches than in past years. And in fact, last year's State of the Union speech, it had one of the smallest audiences in the last 2 decades. For our latest contributor to the next idea, this declining audience, it might just be another sign of the growing political apathy, both here in Michigan and across the country. Terry Link is a former Clinton County Commissioner. He's also a senior fellow with the U.S. Partnership for Education for Sustainable Development. He joins us now to talk political apathy and his idea to bring more people into the democratic process. So it's clear from your essay, Terry, that you are frustrated with the state of democracy, both here in Michigan and across the country. What's your biggest concern?
Well, I think we have a democracy from the top as opposed to democracy from below. And more and more people feel disempowered, fed up, frustrated, cynical, and they're not long skeptical, it's cynicism. I mean, we had a turnout in the last election of 37% nationally. That's the lowest since World War II.
Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about. And I think people are just basically fed up and disconnected from the political system.
And if I said to you, Terry Link, why is that? Give me the explanation in your view.
Well, I think it's a lot of things. I think the issues are pretty complex. I think sometimes that the media doesn't give us a chance to really delve into things. We're in soundbite media. When the issues are complex and you try to soundbite them, you're really not getting to it. So we get into a black and white world, a yes and no world, an either or world. And most of what has to happen in the political world with complex issues is really both and a negotiation and compromise and listening. And we don't have that culture so much anymore.
There's a little bit of nuance, some gray area,
yes,
that maybe is harder to talk about these days. You know, you take the question in your essay, have voters given up on our democracy? And you go one step further to ask, do we even know what it's like to live in a, quote, real democracy? What are you saying there? Are you saying that we are not living in a democracy right now?
I think we go through an educational system that teaches civics and teaches government. And it teaches a basic form of government that was founded 200 years ago. But democracy is an idea and an ideal of which I don't think we continue to explore. I mean, there are people doing that, but it's outside of the mainstream coverage of our culture, what it really means to have voice, to be listened to shape the direction of your community, however you define that community. And I think that just we have yet to begin to explore deeply what democracy really could be if we really put our heads together and looked at it as something that's a community-based effort.
And yet, aren't there people in countries around the world, I mean, billions of people who would look to us and go, you don't know how lucky you are to live in the kind of country that you do?
Oh, certainly, certainly. I mean, we're so blessed in this country for so many reasons. But, you know, those blessings were built on the work of people like yourself, a woman who didn't have the right to vote until about 100 years ago. So we are evolving. We have much further to evolve, in my mind, in terms of what democracy really could be.
Well, let's talk about some evolving. Enough of this sad,
yeah.
Looking at how bad things are. Let's try to look towards the positive. And, you know, you argue that one way to address the growing political apathy is to make the budget process more inclusive. And you do this through a concept called participatory budgeting. Explain how that would work exactly.
Okay. Well, participatory budgeting is an idea that has come about via Brazil in the 1980s. When democracy started to come back in that country, and it's taken off. It's still, I think, in the community in Porto Alegre, Brazil, there's now 30,000 people involved annually in their budgeting process. New York City has these in various wards, as does Chicago. There's more than 1,500, according to the Participatory Budgeting Project, communities and organizations, institutions that are using this. And basically what happens is there's a portion of the budget every year that's designated to be decided how it gets spent by the public. And so the public comes together and raises ideas of suggestions of how that's going to work. And then there are some delegates from amongst those who go off and take those answers and develop real projects. They work with experts to define what that how that will work on the ground. They come back to the public, share the top 5 or 6 or 10 of those ideas, and then the public votes on where that money's going to actually go.
Well, so what are some of the benefits then? I mean, how do we know that this is working?
Well, they do evaluation as part of that as well. And there's a follow-up. Government's responsible for follow-up. And the people that are elected in those wards or councils, this is typically done in, like in New York and Chicago, it's by ward or by some segment. It's not the whole city. It's hard to deal with this at a very large level, but at the local level it does. So the benefits, besides directing where you think the money should go and having a voice in that, it builds more trust between government and the population, number one, which is, I think, one of the underlying elements of the people not coming to the polls. They don't trust the elected officials. And number two, it helps the public understand the complexities of the budget.
But I want to get into that complexity because this is incredibly complex. You know, Michigan's budget, for example, the entire state budget, something, you know, a little more than $50 billion. I mean, these are budgets that even elected officials, state officials have trouble figuring out. Are we really ready to let, you know, anyone suddenly just go, hey, I'm going to figure out how this works and I'll take care of it?
Well, I don't know that you'd have them come in and do the whole state budget together.
I would hope not.
but we're electing people right now who are coming in the office for the first time. We're asking them to do that. And most of them have no real experience in looking at a budget that large. Neither did I as a county commissioner the first time through the gate. But what happens in this, as you study and you look deeper and you see the trade-offs, where's revenue coming from? Where is expenditures going? What are the projections? What do we have to protect here? Those kinds of discussions, looking at real numbers and how they affect people on the street, really help people appreciate what goes on in governing and making those decisions. You can disagree with the decisions that are made, but if you can understand and appreciate the complexity, it gives a lot more of this concept of trust. And it's that element of trust that is eroding in our community.
So let me play devil's advocate here, though, for a second. It sounds wonderful. We also know, though, in American politics, there are special interests. There are lobbyists. There are organizations with a lot of money who try to kind of figure out how to create influence where maybe they don't have it, or if they do, they want more and more. How do you make sure that in a system of participatory budgeting, there aren't those outside interests and that it does maybe stay just with residents or grassroots organizations?
Well, I don't know how you guarantee it. Now, that's a pretty strong word. But I think what you do is you minimize it by, one, making it more local. Also, the process by which you do it, it's done by the citizens themselves. New York City's got a particular model about who gets to play in that. And if you have a business in the community, you get to play. If you were a student in that community, by the way, students are allowed to be involved from the age of 14 up. Those 16 above get to vote in that. But the time period between when the projects are displayed between the by the delegates who create the projects based on a communication of the citizens and the actual votes, very short. So it's not like you're going to have all this time for big money to come in and say, oh, we don't like that project, and so we're going to raise a big fuss about it.
Okay. For those folks who are like, I'm ready. I'm ready to jump in. What's the next step here? What needs to happen?
Well, I think we need to understand and talk to people who have actually run these and see what's involved. The participatory budgeting project is an organization nationally that's pushing that in the United States, and you can go there and they have toolkits that one can look at. You can talk to your particular local legislator, have them explore this. I've done this with a couple of city council people in Lansing who are interested. Whether or not they'll move forward on it, I don't know. And so I think that's how you begin, and then you try it. And, you know, initially you start out with a small bundle of the money and see how it works, and you learn in the process. I mean, this is all called social learning. We learn together.
Sure.
We learn our way forward. And it's that togetherness that's really what's missing here. And I think this allows the ideal of democracy to emerge from under the long winter snow of our discontent, if I can be somewhat poetic there.
Terry Link is a former Clinton County Commissioner and founding director of the Office for Campus Sustainability at Michigan State University. He's currently the president of Starting Now, a sustainability consulting firm based in the Lansing area. You can find his essay on participatory budgeting at the next idea page at michiganradio.org. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Zoe, thanks for the opportunity.